with us, and I know that he went to Bethel a long time ago. He was here in the 70s and 80s and even 90s some, yes, and he was one of the earlier graduates of Bethel Christian Academy. You said there was what, four? Three in your class, okay. Number one in the class of three. He beat out two other individuals. So Fred is a missionary for Global Initiative, and he is going to come and share with you what missions work that he does. Would you welcome Fred Kovich?
It's great to be back. It really is. It's so many memories here. So many memories here. Those of you who know my mom, she love this church so much, and so do I, so my dad, and just so many memories here. And I want to share, just to open with a scripture verse, First Thessalonians 5:24. It's a scripture my mom gave me when I was called to be a missionary, and I was called right here, as a matter of fact. Verse 24, "He who calls you is faithful. He surely will do it." We sung several songs this morning talking about his faithfulness. And I want, as I share today, I want you to see God's faithfulness in what I'm sharing, because it's a running theme all the way through. This is my family, and we've grown over the years. And I was remarking, by the way, I have family here this morning. I have my two cousins, Rita and Pollyanna. And they came up from near Uniontown to be with us this morning. So thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. But this is my family. On the right is Phil. And if you go on to the next slide, you'll see his family. There we are. Phil is working at Missouri State University in Springfield, Missouri. That's where we live as well. So they live across town from us. He does social media for them. His wife, Katie, does emergency management for the county, and she has her finger on the tornado siren button. And so anytime we hear the sirens, we can text her and find out what's going on. And so, and she's also getting her master's degree in emergency management. And she is also a missionary kid. She grew up in Belgium. And so she is doing her thesis on the ministry that her parents had there, which is about anti-sex trafficking. And specifically, her thesis is going to be sex trafficking during a major disaster. And she has already caught the attention of FEMA. And they want her to do some presentations once she completes her degree. And so, so they're doing well. And there's our first grandson, Callan, 2.5 years old. And I want him to call me Grandpap. That's what I called my grandfather. And right now it comes out as Babap, and I just love it. And I just love it. Babap. We go swing. And so they love the Lord. They live across town from us. On the next slide is our son Stephen, and he is a pilot for American Airlines. He flies out of Philadelphia. But he hasn't been flying at all this month. And it's not because of the shutdown. He's probably thankful he's not involved with that. But he is in captain's training. And so he has been in captain's training all month. He'll be there, I believe, the remainder of this week. And then he is going to join all of us in South Carolina for Thanksgiving. And he loves to fly. That's his expression on his face anytime he's in his office in the air. And has flown into Greater Pitt. He sent me some pictures of the point as he was, and he says, right there you can see the incline. He loves that incline. And so I've taken it on him and the family several times on the incline. So he loves to fly. And then one of the benefits he has, you can go on to the next slide, as first officer, he has quite a bit of seniority right now. Now, as a captain, his seniority will go down, but he picks places he wants to fly to see things. And so this is a train museum in Virginia, One time he set up a trip to Newport News, had a very long layover well into the next day because he planned to go to Old Dominion, only to find out that that was the one day that season they were closed. But he plans to go back. He plans to go back. And then in the next picture is our daughter, Hope. We adopted her from China when she was 1 year old back in 2005. And she was a competitive figure skater. She retired from that last year. And our local skating club had her bring all of her ribbons, all of her medals and everything, get out on the ice and get a picture of her for the website and Facebook page. And so she, however, has not left figure skating. She is now a coach. But I have a sample video of one of her routines. And you can go ahead and play that video. There's a little bit of background music, but it's not particularly loud. She is skating on the junior level in this particular video, but she will be testing on the senior level. And that's the same level as the Olympians, except, you know, for the senior level, she only has to do double jumps. The Olympians will take it to triple and quadruples, and she doesn't plan to go to that level. So, but she is a coach. There's one of her students. In fact, Crystal told me that she has, one of the days this week, 3 hours worth of lessons. She has 11 students. She also teaches classes. She's even teaching hockey, and so which she likes because she gets to spend time with the boy coaches. She's yet to find one though who loves Jesus. She's still looking. But part of that is that she's putting together the Christmas show, and she has over a third. She's doing choreography for a third of that Christmas show. So she's very busy this time of year. And so anyway, if you go on to the next slide, you'll see Crystal. And Crystal works as a nurse scheduler. She works full-time, so she doesn't travel with me. But one of the things she's doing on the side that she's growing into a business is she is sewing bags, like farmer's market bags, little cozies that you put ice cream in. She's doing really well, and she's hoping to drop down to 4 days by the end of the year and focus on that business. One thing she's struggling with in that business is she wants to go to some of these markets and sell, but she can never build up inventory. Somebody sees a bag, somebody else wants one. So she keeps trying to fill orders, and she's trying to get ahead. So she's doing well at that. She's really incredible with her sewing. And that, of course, is Callan that she's holding in her arms there. And with the next slide, that's our family, and together we're your missionaries from the very beginning, I might add, literally. And we use technology to reach our world for Jesus. That's our ministry. We are based with Global University in Springfield, Missouri. Global University is a distance ed school. We offer all the way up to a doctorate degree, fully accredited. But we also offer courses at 5 different levels, starting with evangelistic, geared to bring people to Jesus. One of our courses, which I'll show you a picture of here in a minute, has been translated in over 100 languages. And then we have discipleship level courses, and we have Berean courses, which are used to credential ministers here in the United States. About one-third of our pastors here in the United States have received their education via Global University and the Berean program. And then, of course, we have a bachelor's, master's, and doctorate levels. And so that's a little bit of what we do at Global University. Our title there is Chief Engineer of IT and Media. And so I put together IT for the media department, as well as working with various other aspects of media and internet ministry. I'm going to mention to you one of our projects. In the next slide is globalreach.org. I've probably talked about it every time I've been here, because we've been working with this project since we first went to the field in 1997. And it came up in 1998 in two languages, English and Mandarin Chinese. And to this day, Chinese remains the course, the language with the most course materials on it, even more than English. And so so we now have 39 languages online. You can go ahead and go to the next slide, and you'll see some of those languages that we have online. Last November, by the way, we celebrated the 10,000th Christian resource online on the website. You really can't tell by the way it's laid out, but there actually are almost, I believe, almost 10,300 now. We've grown. And I'll show you a couple of other languages that you don't see in the list here in a minute, but I want to show you five of the languages that we have placed online in the last 5 years since the last time I was here. If you go on to the next slide, you'll see three of those, Thai, Dutch, and Swedish. You can see on the Swedish page there is also a video. If we have videos in those languages, we'll put them online. That is the Great Questions of Life in Swedish. And that video has been translated and produced in 34 different languages. So we have quite a bit online. In the next slide, you'll see two more languages that we've placed on. One is Kazakh for Kazakhstan, and I'll talk more about Kazakhstan in a few minutes. And then Serbian has also been placed online in the last 5 years. And I also, right before we started itinerating in August, I put up 16 different courses in the Farsi language, which is the language of Iran. And so they were newly translated and sent to us. I have one more, but because I'm traveling so much, I've not had time to place it online. One of these days, I'll be able to do that. And so so that's globalreach.org. And if you go on to the next slide, I'm going to show you one of our languages that's not a problem in the computer. That is actually how they read. And it's a vertical language, and this is a testimony of God's faithfulness to me. By the way, I cannot name this language because we have a live stream. There's a lot I cannot say because we're on a live stream. But if you ask me afterwards, I'll be happy to tell you what that language is and where it is spoken. But my testimony about this is this, and it goes back to the scripture verse I read at the beginning. Faithful is he who called you. When I agreed to do this language, I did not know it was a vertical language. Now, the country that this language is spoken and read in is a restricted country, a very sensitive place for Christians. And so we have to put this on a private server. It cannot be on the main server with the other languages, because if their government saw that, this language online and one other language that we have, they would block the entire site, and our field personnel there could not afford for that to happen because they use Global Reach to distribute their materials. So anyway, I did not know when I agreed to do this language as a vertical language. Now, when I saw it, I kind of did like some of you. And for about 30 seconds, I thought, oh, shoot. I'm going to have to program this. And then I realized God's faithfulness had already prepared me. 2 weeks before, Global University had put me through training for an entirely different project, for something else entirely. But, and I put this in quotes, God just so happened to include vertical language training in that particular lesson. And so after the initial shock wore off, I looked at it and said, I can do that. I had to go back and look at how to do it. And there's, by the way, four possible ways that a vertical language can be displayed. And yes, I had to go through all four before I finally got it right. But the course on the left is an evangelistic course. That's the Great Questions of Life. That's the one that's been translated in over 100 languages. By the way, Global University total has materials in 141 languages. And I know this because I handle the digital archives for Global University. And so anytime people want materials, they will email me and I'll look and see what we have for them. So if you go on to the next slide, you'll see one of the other projects we've been involved with, Central Asia Theological Institute. And the next slide, please. You'll see where that is. This is what we call the stands. Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan. I left one out somewhere. Pakistan and Afghanistan are kind of in there as well, but not quite as much as the ones you see on the map there, because they were all part of the former Soviet Union. And so we are ministering to those students. We're training them with a bachelor's degree level program for them to become pastors. And I was able to travel there last year and to teach. And this was unusual. Most of my trips overseas are technical in nature. Like, for instance, I once traveled to Africa to put a Christian TV station on the air. So there are various technical trips, but this one was very different for me because I was sent there to teach a college-level course. And that's the first time I had ever taught a college-level course, New Testament as Literature. It is a bachelor-level course from Global University, and I did it over the course of 5 days. It was kind of a very intensive session. I learned a lot myself by studying for that course. And but I traveled to Almaty. You'll see that in the red rectangle there. But I also want you to notice how close it is to China. Actually, 11 or 12 time zones away. And that really does a number on your body. I can tell you some stories about that. But we were just about 50 miles from the Chinese border. That's how far east we were. And that plays into a story I'm going to tell you next. By the way, I included that TV tower. It was built by the Soviets to basically show the domination. They would build those towers in major cities just to show that, hey, we're in charge here. It's still standing. It's still being used by the government, which is now Soviet, not Soviet now, but run by the government of Kazakhstan. I was so fascinated by that tower, I probably took 24 pictures of it. And I just had to include it. For those of you who don't know, I'm a television engineer by trade, hence the title chief engineer. And I used to work for, locally, I used to work for a company out in Crafton that duplicated videotapes. That tells you how long ago that was. And then after that, when I met Crystal, I moved to South Carolina, got married, and worked for a TV station, an ABC station in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And so, and then we became missionaries. So that's kind of my fascination with television. If you go on to the next slide, we have three pictures. In the upper left, I'm preaching at a church. I had the opportunity to preach twice there, translated into Russian. In the middle is me teaching the class that actually was Friday, the review day, and the dean of the school had suggested that I do an American TV game show for review day. And so I did New Testament Jeopardy. And that was a lot of fun, but the students didn't understand. They love American food, they love American music, they did not understand American TV game shows. And so I had to explain it to them, and I tried to explain the rules, and finally they just said, why don't you just give us an example? And I says, okay. I says, this man traveled 12 time zones from America to teach this class. Now, the man there that you see sitting with the microphone is the bishop of Kazakhstan for the Assemblies of God. And I believe that may be his daughter that you see on the right there. She understands English, but he's translating into Russian, and then everything else I'm saying is also being translated into the Kazakh language. So I'm being translated into two languages while I'm teaching and while I'm talking. But she understands English. So she immediately responds, doesn't wait for the translation to come out, and says, Fred Kovach. And I had the distinct pleasure of looking at her, to her shock, and saying, "You're wrong." Because what is the correct answer? Who is Fred Kovach? And so that was a perfect example. They divided themselves up into two teams. One was Mercedes, the other was BMW. I can't remember which team won, but they had to fight over that pen that I had in my hand. That was their prize, that and a couple other things. And then in the lower right is a picture of most of the students I taught. There were some that weren't there that day. But they are standing in front of a building that used to be a Soviet hall. And it's been redeemed for God. There's a church that meets in there. Of course, the school meets in there. I'm also told, and I didn't find this out till I came back to the U.S., that the KGB was in that building, and they had a dungeon. And if I go back, and I'd like to go back once we finish this time of itineration, I want to see if I can find that dungeon. I think I know where it was. And it was down by the restrooms. And so, but that's, yeah, I know, it's kind of a little piece of irony there, but anyway. The next slide, this is a testimony given by one of the students, and I'll tell you a little bit more about her here in a minute, but go ahead and roll that video.
Hi, Terim.
I would like to bring the gospel to my people so that my people know more about God. I think it is my calling to spread the gospel because we have many other religions. It has been a great opportunity here at CADI to get names and places where the gospel was written and when, so that when I talk to people about their religions, I can tell them more and give them more information about what I believe.
Now, the interesting thing about her is that she is a member of a persecuted people group in a certain country that was close by. And she said that she wanted to be able to reach her people for God. Her people are mostly Muslim, but there's a substantial number of Christians, especially in Kazakhstan. And so if you go to the next slide, you will see her starting to fulfill her call. She is pastoring a church of her people. And this picture was taken a year later and by another professor that traveled. He brought it back and said, "Sandoval is now a pastor." And so that was so cool to see her fulfilling the calling that God. And the other picture is some more of the students in the school. Not all of those were in my class, but I do recognize some of them that were in that picture. So that's the Central Asia Theological Institute. We're also very much involved with facilitating the translation project. For instance, I was asked a few weeks ago to supply materials that have been previously translated into Russian, but they were translated over 30 years ago, which means that they need to be re-edited and brought up to date so far as any colloquialisms and so forth. So I also assist them with that. And so if you go on to the next slide, though, I want to show you one of the other projects that we work on. And it's actually the learning management system. And I had to use this slide because the slide I really wanted to use is sensitive information, I'll put it that way. And so, but this system that our students use to log in to study, I actually was part of the development team years ago. I dropped out in 2021 because it got to be too time consuming and I had other projects I needed to be working on. But the system is based on Amazon Web Services, also AWS, if you're ever watching the Steelers, like I get to sometimes out in Missouri. But they'll talk about the statistics are put together by the AWS system. This is the same platform that we're using, very advanced platform, has very advanced encryption. Well, there's a certain country that I've mentioned a couple of times previously in this presentation, where the believers are in a very sensitive situation, and they cannot be discovered. What we have ended up doing is utilizing this platform with some concealed websites, And I'll be happy to tell you afterwards how we do it. But they are able to get into the system without a trace and be able to study the scriptures. And so we're thankful for them to be able to do that. In the next slide, we have the Albanian website. This is actually inside the system. Albania will be one of the first national offices of Global University to have students studying in their own language on this level. And so, but this also would demonstrate some of the AI capabilities. A lot of people ask me, how is AI affecting what we're doing? Well, there's a lot, there is some negative aspects of it, but one of the positive aspects is this system is able to do translation on the fly. And it also will be reviewed by humans to make sure that the translation is correct. Some of the theological terms, some of the biblical terms we use, AI struggles with. And so our human translators will be able to look at that and say, no, use this word instead. And that's one of the things that AI will do for us. Another thing that AI does is put together syllabus or syllabi from the table of contents. We can upload the table of contents page. We can upload the first page of every lesson, and it'll come out with lesson objectives. It'll come out with a syllabi for the course. And so that does in just a few minutes what it used to take our professors a couple hours to do. So that's our new system. But I also want to talk about our online Bible school systems that we have. You can move on to the next slide, please. And this is one of our main projects, India College of Ministry. I believe I spoke about it last time I was here. We've been involved with it since 2013. And we have over 71,000 students in the system. We just last Sunday sent 750 students across the stage in a graduation. It's what we call a mega graduation. And we thank God for that. God has really been blessing this ministry. I call it a hybrid online Bible school because they can study in several ways. In the upper left, that lady is studying on an Android tablet. George there is studying on just with a regular book. And I also included a picture of one of our graduates. He was a drug addict, was saved on the streets, and he's gone through all 40 courses of the India College of Ministry, and he is now going back on the streets to reach drug addicts for Jesus. So we thank God for what he's able to do. And but I have a testimony from one of our students, and you can play that next for me, please.
Praise the Lord. My name is Thea, and I am from GTAG Church. Joining this course has been an incredible blessing in my life. It has not only deepened my understanding of God's word, but has also equipped me to share the message of the Lord with others. This journey has strengthened my faith and given me a greater sense of purpose in his kingdom. Through this course, God has taught me many valuable lessons, how to speak with wisdom, how to act with grace, and how to live as his witness in my daily life. I personally like the subject, marriage and home. These teachings have transformed me, and I am now committed to serving him with greater dedication. Above all, I thank the Lord for this incredible opportunity. This is my first ever theological training, and it has drawn me closer to him. I look forward to using all that I have learned to serve him faithfully in care cell ministry with my church.
One thing I've heard as a common theme from our graduates is how thankful they are for their education. So many people, I saw a testimony from a 73-year-old woman, and she was just in tears because she had never had a chance to study the Bible. And these students, in incredible ways, are sacrificing in ways that we could never imagine. Some would make us cringe if I were to describe them to you. But they do it because they love God. And in the midst of that, they would go to the scripture verse and say, he is faithful. He is faithful. And he is. He is faithful. ICOM, India College of Ministry, has multiplied over the years. Over 70,000 students, over 30,000 graduates, just since 2013. The ministry in the life groups that come out of the churches is incredible. We're training pastors, even in spite of persecution. We're training pastors to reach people, to minister to their own people in the churches, and help them to grow in God. He is faithful in so many ways. And one of the ways that he has been faithful to Crystal and I has been to supply our needs. Those of you who've known me a long time know me as being severely introverted. It would have terrified me when I lived here in Pittsburgh to stand in front of you. Now I'm just a little bit nervous. So God's helped me over the years. He's been faithful. He's been faithful. And I struggled, even though I had such a strong call that I got right here. I struggled when it came time for me to apply for missionary appointment. I was working for a TV station down in Myrtle Beach, and they treated me well. I was paid better than some department heads there. I was paid three times what the reporters were being paid. They liked my work. I had a boss that supported me in just about any way. And I remember going to my church. We lived next door to the church. The church was renting out the parsonage to me and Crystal. And I'd go over to the church and I'd pray. And I knew it was time for me to put in. And it was difficult. Joe, you may remember that I had tried to apply for missionary appointment the first time when I was here and was turned down for a couple of different reasons. And so there was that going through my head. And I remember praying, God, you asked me to support my family with my hands. I can do that at the TV station. I had a salesman up front raising my salary. They'd buy all my tools. And some of those TV station tools were expensive. I says, now, God, you're asking me to support my family with my preaching. And I just don't know about that. And he spoke to me very distinctly that day. And he said to me, Fred, show me your engineering degree. And I said, God, you know I don't have one. You know what I have is a Bible degree, a missions degree. He says, exactly. So what you're telling me, Fred, is that when you work at the TV station and you say that you're supporting your family with your hands, you're actually supporting them with the skills that I, God, put in your hands. After that, all I could say was, yes, Lord. There's nothing else I could say. And he's been faithful. He's been faithful. And I reflect over this itineration. This itineration, we have to raise more money than we've ever had to raise. Inflation has taken its toll. There's just been other factors, just more responsibility in ministry. You've seen the major projects that we have to work on. We need to raise $49,000 in cash. And $3,000 in monthly support. And I looked at that, and it's funny because the lady who sets the budget actually right now for various reasons is working in our building, and she saw me in the lunchroom, and she said, Fred, I just sent you your budget, and I'm sorry. She actually apologized for the amount of our budget. We don't set our budget. In fact, most of it was marked as non-negotiable. But yet I look at that and I say, he's faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful to do what he's called us to do. And I've looked at the ministry of Bethel. I've attended this church. We first started in 1976. And I've looked at the various ministries that it has done over the years. the various outreaches it did and the outreaches that you've mentioned today. And I say, he's faithful. He is faithful. And that's my testimony and my charge to you. God's called each and every one of you to do something for him. And you may say, God, I don't know how to do that. Or God, I'm doing this, but you're asking me to do that, and I just don't know about that. I'm here to tell you, he's faithful. He is faithful. He is so faithful, he went to the cross for us. He is so faithful, he died for us when we were still sinners, Paul tells us. St. Paul tells us. He died for us. When we would just as soon as sinners spit in his face, we'll just go our own way and do what we want to do. He looked down. And he says, I'm going to go down to earth. And I'm going to go to that cross. And I'm going to die for them. He looked at me through the ages. And he says, I'm going to die for Fred. And if I was the only one that needed it, he would have done it. And it's the same for you as well. God loved us so much. The songs talked about the things we go through, but yet God's faithfulness shines through that. God loves you. He loves you so much. He sent his only son to die for us, that we may become adopted sons and daughters of God. And to me, that's incredible. That's incredible because I don't deserve that. None of us do. None of us, when we died, we went to heaven, and God looked at us and says, why should I let you into my heaven? I'm holy, and we, as humans, are not. Why should I let you into our heaven? The answer is through Jesus. If we've accepted Jesus, made him Lord of our lives, applied the sacrificial blood that he shed on the cross for us, that's how we get into heaven. That's found in the scriptures in the New Testament through and through. If you look through the writings of the Apostle Paul, you will find it there as a theme, especially in the book of Romans. He loves us. And that's how much he loved us. Joe, could you come and play the praise team? Come forward. Because I want to challenge you, if you've never accepted the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, this is your invitation. This is your time to do that. Because God loves you and he's extending that kind of invitation to you. And I'd like for you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Because this is a time for that. He's extending an invitation to you. And if you would like to accept that invitation, I'd just like for you to indicate by raising your hand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Because you know, he doesn't will that any should perish. Perishing meaning eternal damnation. He desires that we all go to heaven. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I would also like to extend to those who raised their hands and maybe those who felt like they should have. If you would come forward, please. I'd like for altar workers to come forward as well. And come forward. As Jesus told us that he would like for acknowledge to heaven. And he acknowledged him. And And these people are here to pray with you. Please come forward and meet with them and pray with you. And they would like to take you further into the invitation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's go ahead and worship God with what you're playing there.
Hallelujah. Isn't the Lord faithful? And has he been faithful to you? Isn't it great to see and hear about the things that God's doing around the world? And when you support missions, that's one of the ministries that you're supporting and things that are happening. So it's, don't think of it as you're putting money in an offering plate. Think of it as you're providing the resources to make stuff like that happen. Amen? And so we're going to receive a second offering this morning for Fred and his ministry. So if our ushers can get ready to receive. And church, if you'd prayerfully consider giving this morning, get ready to give if you are able. The ushers will come forward. And good. All right. And he has a big family, huh? It's great to see all those pictures. Good to see the smiling faces. And your grandson will get the name you want eventually, right? But it's my wife would tell me sometimes when my kids would say things wrong, she'd say, don't correct them. I want them to say it that way because it's so cute. But let's pray for the offering. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to hear what's taking place around the world. And we ask, Lord, as we give, that you would meet every bit of the budget that Fred and his team has need of. Every cent, Lord, make that be supplied. And we ask that you would anoint him, give him wisdom, not only him, but all the different ministries that he's connected to and all the schools and all the students. And what a great thing to hear of people coming to know Christ on the mission field and being raised up and turned back to go out and preach in the streets and reach those that are stuck in drugs, plant and start churches, Lord. Good things are happening. So we're asking that you would supply every need of it. And as we fellowship, Lord, as we eat, Lord, thank you for your provisions. We ask your blessing on the food and just continue to enrich us in our faith and in our connection with one another. And we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So ushers will go through. Thank you so much, Fred. If you'd get ready to prepare at your table, Fred will be back there at the table to answer any questions that you have, especially the ones he couldn't answer while we were streaming. Real quick, Fred, Global University, they have discipleship courses. Are they for anybody can take those? And are awesome. Yeah, so use that as a resource if you want to take any discipleship courses or if you know someone that would like to take some discipleship courses, then Global University would be the place to do that. Would you stand with me? And again, we have food in the back, so if you make your way out this way, go to the end of the hallway. There's a room where there'll be food, tables, and chairs to fellowship with each other. But thank you so much for